Hi, and welcome to the 20th Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast, brought to you by Shooters in Nagoya. I'm John Gibson, and with me as usual is Jim Allen. How you doing, Jim?
Hey, John, I'm doing really well. How are you doing?
Hanging in there, buddy. It's been a long day.
Yeah, it has been a long day, and we had a great week this week. Lots of interesting stuff going on.
That's right. This week we got an interview with Jason Standridge of the Hanshin Tigers, and we're going to break down the CL and PL races, and we're going to touch on a number of other topics, so let's get started by clearing the bases.
Go.
All right, so I caught up with Jason Standridge at Tokyo Dome on Wednesday, and he's a big right-hander who started out with SoftBank and had limited success, but he was probably hampered by the injuries that he had, and you know they discarded him fairly quickly, typical treatment of imports in Japan. But he has really bounced back with Hanshin this year.
Well, he was pretty good last year, but his, he was working through some issues at the end of the year, but this year has been really, really good.
I look at him and I look at Messenger and those two guys joining the Hanshin rotation and doing what they're doing. You know, Nomi hasn't been there the whole year.
Right, but he's back now.
He's back now and he's doing great, but he wasn't there the whole year. I really think those guys have carried them.
Well, they did, you know, especially when they pitched well. Jason had a spell early in the season where his balance, his left leg was flying a little, flying open towards first base, and pitching coach Yasuo Kubo said, you know, he's got to correct that, and Jason told me it's something that he'd been working on since last year, and he's really got that down. So his balance, his arm slot and his balance are really much better, and that's really bringing him over the top with his fastball and giving him a lot more power.
I love Kubo, the pitching coach. He's a great guy.
He is good. Just watch out for the teeth, baby.
All right, well, let's take a quick listen to the interview, and then we'll talk about it afterwards.
The pitching with the Tigers right now seems to be doing a really good job. You guys have been steady all season.
I think so. I mean, our staff as a whole has been really, really good. So we've as long as we can keep that up, I really feel like we have a really good chance at the end.
I think that's the most important thing. I mean, I look at all these teams, and everybody, it seems to be nobody's going to pull away.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to, like, Giants rattled up, I think, seven in a row recently.
Yeah.
And that was quite a thing for them, I think.
Well, I think it just, I think because the offensive production is down this year, and I think, you know, the pitching has been more dominant or whatever, and so, for, you know, of course, we all have our different reasons why, you know, whatever, but the thing is I really feel like that, you know, pitching, we know that pitching beats hitting any day. Good pitching beats good hitting any day, but I think if we continue to pitch the way we are, and even the other teams are pitching great too, so I don't think anybody, I don't, really don't think it's going to happen where a team runs away with it. I think it's going to be coming down to the end, and I think, you know, that's the way it's going to be.
And what are the details that your team in particular needs to pay attention to, and the nuances of the game that you guys need to stick with going down the stretch?
I think just making sure that we're not pressing, you know, making sure that we're just taking one day at a time, and making sure we're not trying to do too much. I mean, our most important game is today. And so, you know, we got to continue to do more important, you know, is today than tomorrow will be tomorrow. That, you know, so I think that's the best thing.
Now you guys play pretty well defensively, and that's the thing that we talk about is, you know, the teams that end up kicking the ball around are obviously going to give other teams extra outs and all that stuff.
Sure.
What about on the road versus playing at home? I mean, you guys had this road trip, and you did pretty well this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been okay, and, you know, it's one of those things where it's tough. You know, that long road trip is tough, but I really feel like that we've done a good job, and just, you know, hopefully we continue to take it back when we go back home, too.
All right, last question here. Now, the Yakult Swallows don't have that much better a record than you guys, but they have all these ties, and they have a 10-game difference in the loss column now.
Right.
That's big. How do you guys view that as you go down the stretch?
The ties are stupid. I hate them. I hate them. I just can't stand them. And, but, you know, it's Japan. You got to deal with it or whatever. But I think, I don't know. I mean, we'll be fine. Like I said, nobody's going to pull out away from each other. I think it'll be closer down to the end.
All right. So thank you very much, Jason, for taking the time to talk to the podcast. Yeah, a lot of what he said is true about the Rays, but that comment ties up. Thank you, my man.
You gotta love it. You gotta love it. You know, you know, give credit to anybody who actually says what they think in Japanese baseball, because it's so gosh darn rare.
Well, you know, I don't want to say it was, you know, I was just there and I happened to be the guy who asked the question that's got the, that, you know, prompted that response, but it is great when you get a guy who just blows it out like that. Ties are stupid. I hate them.
Do you hate ties, John?
Not in this lifetime.
Me neither. You know, Jason and us were coming from a little different perspective, and I appreciate Jason's feeling about it. I think when I came here too, and I didn't have to write about baseball games, I thought ties were, you know, pretty much the devil's doings. But now, you know, I can go with the flow. Maybe it's, I'm just getting old.
You know, I totally understand. And look, people come by train. You know, the workers there who are at the stadium have to go home by train. And when you rely on public transportation and you don't have your car to go out and you know, fire up and get you home, it changes the importance on, you know, when a baseball game is going to finish. So I completely understand it.
We're not living in New York where the trains are going to run all night either.
Right. So
that's the issue.
I can't say that I agree with it either, and it took me a while to get used to it. But hey,
right.
You know, it's 11 o'clock. People are gonna be leaving anyway, so let's go.
Okay. <Let's leave with them. laughs> All right. Okay.
So, now, when he talked about, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm finished.
When he talked about the CL race here, and he said, I mentioned at the time on Wednesday. First place Yakult Swallows did have a 10-game difference in the loss column between themselves and the second-place team. And since now there's a three-way tie for second with the Dragons, the Giants, and the Hanshin Tigers. And they're all 3.5 games behind now. And that 10-game difference has dwindled down to 8. In the loss column. And that's a big deal now because those teams, like I said last week, they're going to be playing each other so much. But I still say that, you know, every time the Giants go out and win 2 of 3 or lose 2 of 3, that, you know, these teams are just going to be knocking their own heads together to try to catch these guys. But the ties are going to factor in. And as stupid as they might be, Jason, they're going to factor in.
Well, the Swallows are... They are dropping, you know. They without Tateyama, they were without Lim for a while, and when Lim was pitching and Burnett was a setup guy, they were light. When Burnett was put into the closer role, he had one rough outing, and then as a setup guy, he had another rough outing. Wait a minute.
You mean the one little home run that he gave up the other day?
Yeah, exactly.
That's not really rough. That's just, you know, with this one home run, it's going to happen.
Okay, agreed. It didn't work. But the point being that the Swallows have always been just a little bit away from a meltdown. I think they're a team of good character, but I just don't see the strength there, the power that's going to keep them going when things go wrong. Things are going wrong. You know, things are not necessarily going wrong. They're just not going right for them right now.
Oh, they're going wrong.
This is what the Swallows have done to be honest, this is more or less what the Swallows did all year, except that they won, and now they're not.
All right, well, as of today, they're 7-13-3 this month. So things are going wrong. They're going in the wrong direction. But I think they started the month with about a 7-game lead, and it's only cut in half.
There were 14 games over 500 a little less than a month ago. But now they're 8 games over 500.
I think they were 7 or 8 games in. So it could be a heck of a lot worse considering, you know, you're 6 games under 500 for the month. And it's not. And, you know, they won just enough and beat the right teams, the teams right behind them at times, so that, you know, their lead has been protected or there's a buffer zone there. I like to start to panic, I think, when it gets to 2.
Yeah.
I'll be looking for a panic button, but I mean, it's not there yet. To me, they don't seem, they had some injuries. Tateyama, their ace, went out.
Yeah.
Muranaka was out for a while. He came back.
Yoshinori was out in the middle of the season. Now he comes back, and all this stuff happens after he comes back, and this is all happening after Muranaka came back and was pitching well. So,
all right. So, they're going to take on the Carp starting on Tuesday. Obviously they're going to have to win those games. They've been beating up on the Dragons pretty good, but they're going to play Jingu. They're going to have the Giants next weekend. So, if they can win two or three of those games, they'll be in both of those series. They'll be fine.
They're pretty much done against the Giants. They've only got a few games left against the Giants. Basically, their schedule, what's left on their schedule is mostly the Tigers.
Well, they're going to face some good pitching.
Yeah.
And they have some good pitching of their own. So, I mean, it's going to be great. It's going to be grand. I mean, this series was pretty good. They lost. They got a rain out in between
right.
two games. But this was a very entertaining game tonight. They just couldn't push across the run. They didn't get very many hits. To me, they're going to have to prove that they're not good enough to win, because I think they're good enough to win.
Okay.
And not doing the little things, and that's another thing that Jason wouldn't get into or didn't get into with me when I asked him. I said, what's it going to take to get, you've got to take care of the little things. You've got to be able to move runners over. You have to be able to cover bases, throw to the cutoff man. I mean, it's going to be the little things. It's not going to be who hits a home run and who doesn't.
Right. Well, I think that comes down to the fact of, Josh Weitzel was saying something the other week that, talking about the fact that they hadn't won a lot, they won an absurd number of games for the amount of runs they scored and the amount of runs they had allowed.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that a speed bump was inevitable. There was going to be a reality check coming, and he said what's going to happen after this is a character test, and do they have the character to pull through when things go wrong? And he said, of course, he thinks they do, and I think what we're talking about, or what you're talking about, is really this feeling of a comfort level dealing with the pressure,
mm-hmm.
playing of staying within. As long as players stay within what they're capable of and don't try, don't go out on a limb and do stupid things, they're going to be fine. As long as everybody's doing their job and they trust that the other guys in the team are going to do their job and can get the job done, they trust that the guy coming off the bench for defense, in an emergency can get the job done,
mm-hmm.
everything's going to stay relaxed. And that's what we're talking about is character. And that's what we're talking about is doing the little things. As soon as teams start to think, as soon as players start to think that they have to do something extraordinary, they have to hit this pitch that they don't normally hit, then they're in trouble. Then you get that, vicious circle,
mm-hmm.
of players, one player playing, trying to play over his head, the next guy playing over his head, until everybody has to play over their head, and then the whole thing collapses, it becomes a house of cards. So, do the Swallows have that? Sure, I think they have the character. If they can keep playing the little things, they can cling to that lead.
Mm-hmm.
Now the question is, can the other guys, can the Tigers? Sure. Can the Giants? Sure. I even think the Carp can do that, I think they have a team that can do it.
Right.
The Dragons.
They just need a lot more to go right, I think. Well, before we get to the Dragons, though, I'd like to touch on the fact that you talk about, basically guys talk about trying to do too much, and we always hear this in baseball.
Right.
And we don't get a definition. And a lot of times it is that, you had a pitch that you could have taken the other way for a base hit, but you thought you had to do more with it by maybe trying to find a gap, hit it over the fence, and instead you ended up making an out. And that's what they talk about with trying to do too much. But there's also the obvious things like, trying to make the defense, forcing the defense to make a play by taking, going after that extra base. Or if you're in the outfield, instead of hitting the cutoff man, you're throwing over that guy trying to get a guy at a base. That kind of thing, nobody can afford to make those kinds of mistakes going down the stretch and playing with it. Go ahead.
Everybody makes them. I mean, this is a part of playing. A part of playing to the utmost of your ability is pushing the limit as far as you reasonably can. And everybody goes past. Anybody who's worth his salt goes past his limit on occasion, but they know where the limit is.
Right.
And they push it. They push it out of a sort of a sense of controlled aggression as opposed to just recklessness and desperation.
Right, a lot of it looks like recklessness, but I mean, you know, let's face it, in baseball, it seems like a really slow game, but there are a lot of split second decisions out there that go on that are game changers.
Right.
Because you have to make these split second decisions, if you try to do too much with something, you know,
try to
throw somewhere you shouldn't throw. Trying to steal a base you shouldn't try to be stealing, then it changes everything. It changes everything. It's all situational. So.
Right. I'm basically, when you're comfortable with your teammates, that they're going to make calm decisions about which balls to eat, which balls to take a chance on, and which balls to take and which balls to swing at, and pitchers which pitch that they feel comfortable with, then you're going to play within yourself. The team's going to play as well as it's capable of.
Right.
Now,
and
you're saying this is going to be the test in the Central League, right?
Well, I'm saying that up to now your Swallows have been they might not have been hitting the ball the hardest, and they might not have been hitting the ball the farthest, but they've been winning games. And my point is, the numbers are fine, and it's good to use them as a guide. But I'm never going to be a stat head, and I'm never going to just live by the numbers. I'm going to give things the eye test, and I'm going to say, okay, this team, they're not hitting the ball that far, but they're winning games, and
you got to give people credit for what has happened.
Certainly, it is history. It is history. That's important.
They got the wins. You can't take them away from them.
If they got the ties too.
Okay. You can't take the Swallows. Well, I'll tell you, ties are big because of the way they count. They don't count at all.
Right.
In my opinion, they should do. They did. They used to do in Japan is they used to count a tie as a half a win and a half a loss.
I would love that actually.
Yeah, except when you're doing the tables, because then you got to calculate it. But the point being that it drags a tie is worth then exactly what it is in the schedule, a half a win and a half a loss. But when it counts for nothing, it's essentially a bonus for teams with good records.
I agree. I wholeheartedly agree. We will do this on a future show. We will just break it all down along with wins.
Okay. So anyway, to get back to the point, is the Swallows had this wonderful record, and how they got it, how they got the record, doesn't matter one bit. They bought it, they stole it, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They did it with character, they did it with luck, they did it with somebody sold their soul to the devil. It doesn't really matter.
They're in possession of it now.
Exactly. Those wins are in the book. Now, the question is, if you have it, let's say you've got two teams, and they have exactly the same record, and one of them allowed 100 runs more than they scored, and the team they're playing against, they're competing against, is blowing their opponents out of the water. They've got basically all the attributes of a good team except good luck. Which team do you expect to continue winning?
Oh, you worded that so cleverly. expect to win is the one with the better numbers. The team I would bet my money on winning is the team with the most heart.
Oh, well, we'll look at the box score for the heart call.
Well, you can't see that, but you've got to watch games to see who's actually playing and doing those little things. And you can't just look at the box score for that. Yeah, well, you're never going to see it in the box score.
Nope, but there are things. I mean, like I said, and I've been picking the Giants all year, basically because this reservoir of talent that was underperforming.
You're hitting all the buttons tonight, Alan.
I know.
You're doing this on purpose, aren't you?
No, No, but what I'm talking about, people playing. Okay, first of all, we have to qualify, because this year we have a year in which most hitters are performing less. Their figures are lower than what we're used to, correct? Most pitchers' numbers are better than they're used for. Okay, that's the way the balance is. Okay, now when you take that and you adjust for that, you know, you make this mental adjustment. Well, if this guy was hitting 300 with 300 home runs last year, this year he's hitting 270 with 15 home runs, we think, that's not a good year, but given the year, it's not bad. Maybe he's even. He's really not losing a step compared to the league.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But when you get somebody like Michihiro Ogasawara, who's a career, 320 hitter, and he's hitting 220 with no power and no nothing, that's what I call underperforming. He's so far below his normal expectations that there's an issue. Okay, when you have those, now the guy's talent is not appreciably different from year to year.
Mm-hmm.
And so some, you know, next year you wouldn't think, he's a 220 hitter now. You wouldn't think that. You think he's a 300 year. Well, I'm saying right now, he's still the same hitter he was last year.
Yeah, he's at this point in time, he's a career 313 hitter.
Okay. Right.
So this is in a season where he's been dragged down.
Okay, so before the start of the year, he was a 314 hitter, a 315 hitter, whatever. But the point being that you have to realize that his skills have not appreciably changed. He's a little older, whatever. But the point being that he's still essentially capable of playing to his level relative to the league that he has been the last couple of years. Okay, a little less. He's a little older, a little slower, a little more beat up.
Okay.
But the point is, this guy ain't a 220 hitter.
No, he's not a 220 hitter, but let's look at some of the other guys across the league. Everybody's underperforming, if that's what you want to call it.
I'm saying relative to the rest of the league, everybody's down. That doesn't make them underperforming.
Well, but they
are. Batters are not. No, they're not underperforming when the runs and hits go out of the league because of the ball. Batters are not underperforming. They're playing. You know, they're playing to whatever the level is. But when one guy is so far, you know, and he loses 100 points off his batting average, now that's extreme.
But he's not the only one. I'm not sure that it's 100 points, but there's another former batting champion out there who got benched tonight in Shinichi with Kazuhiro Wada. He got dumped onto the bench, and he's hitting in the 220s or 230s. I'm just saying this is not an individual Giants problem that a lot of guys are underperforming or underachieving or not living up to expectations. This is a league-wide situation. It's even an MPB-wide situation when you go to the other league, although it just doesn't show up across every team.
Right.
There are other teams that have made adjustments or are doing something that – you know,
I think there are other issues with the teams that are doing well. They're not exactly the same teams that we were talking about a year ago.
Right.
So, I mean, the Fighters have some serious advantages over, I mean, just looking at the lineup and the players they had, they're essentially a better team than they were last year. The Hawks much more so. The Swallows quite a bit so, because the Swallows last year were two teams, the team before May 27th and the team after May 27th.
Right, when they got their manager, yeah.
Right, and a month later when Josh Whitesell showed up, they were a different team. They were a little better as well. So the teams that were holding their, you know, treading water, so to speak, were better teams than they were. Everybody's down. Everybody's down.
Okay.
Everybody's down. But what I'm saying is, who's underperforming? The Giants had several guys who were underperforming from day one, and I think it's fair to use that word. I know you don't like it, but it's a relative issue. We're not talking about just hitting below his batting average or hitting fewer home runs, because that is a trend that's affecting everybody. We have Takuya Nakamura, who's, you know, doing better than last year, but, you know, wait a second, he was hurt last year, so that's not such a big surprise. He missed half of last season.
Right, he was in and up and down and in and out of the lineup. But,
right.
I mean, you know,
but he is better.
Just as an example.
Okay.
The Dragons, I can't remember what day it was. I think it was Thursday. They sent up a lineup that went as follows. They had seven guys hitting 244 or less.
Is this the day when Tanishige?
Oh, he did that for a couple games. He's playing first base and batted fifth. And he, this particular day, Guzman went out there and, you know, he was at 187. Yeah. And Tanishige went out there and he was at 194. And this is these guys are in their starting lineup and in the heart of the order. So, I mean, you talk about, you know, underperforming and underachieving. Sure. I don't think you can point to one team in the Central League and say, you know, this team, you know, unless you're going to base it on salary.
Yeah,
the only person who cares about salary are the, people at the bank and the creditors.
So I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. But I'm saying that, I was more, okay, let's put it this way. I was more sensitive of it with the Giants, particularly because of all the weird stuff that was going on at Tokyo Dome. With the Dragons, it was weirder.
Yeah.
The Dragons' collapse is much stranger.
It's not a collapse because with all their problems and all their issues, they're tied for second place. I'm looking at them and I'm seeing a fifth place team.
Right.
I mean, the pitching is probably exaggerated because of the fact that they play at a pitcher's park. So these guys pitch really well at home, and then they're kind of mediocre at home, but their numbers overall look good.
Right. Well, that's typical. Right.
And they can't score. And, I mean, you know, they went to Jingu the other day. They had six runs, and I wrote in my blog. I think they scored a week's worth of runs in one game, and they couldn't win. That was a game they decided to give up.
The Dragons typically used to be a good offensive team whose pitching was made better, you know, looked better because of Nagoya Dome.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, the hitting ain't there. They're not hitting anywhere. And, join the rest of the club.
Right.
So Tanishige made an interesting point that their poor defense was because they're not used to playing outside. But, okay.
Really, that's what he said. We're not used to playing outside. It's this baseball game. It's an indoor sport. That's what he said.
He said that they play in a dome stadium and they do bad outdoors. Now, the Dragons have a very unusual park, and not surprisingly, they have a tremendous home field advantage over the years, much the way the Tigers do at Koshien.
Hey, Shige, get some sun, dude. The game is played outside. Like, they're three outdoor parks, plus they play in some of those regional parks. They don't play half their games inside. What are you talking about?
Well, they do, actually, because of the games they play at Tokyo Dome. It's just probably just about half. But
yeah, but, I mean, the Tokyo Dome games are not, I mean, the games they play at Yomiuri are not always at Tokyo Dome. They play some regional ones out there, too.
No, but more so than their local regional games. So they play more than half their games inside, slightly more. But anyway,
I'll look that up. Anyway.
Well, you want to bet a pizza on that, Mr. Gibson?
Yeah, I would like to. Although I'm not eating pizza for a while now. It's time to diet and get some weight off here and get ready for this marathon. But we can find something to bet. You know, I'm looking at these teams, and, you know, Dragons look like a fifth-place team to me.
Me too.
Swallows look like a first-place team to me. The Giants look like a borderline fringe playoff team. You know, I can easily see Hanshin and Hiroshima getting in the playoffs, and then I could easily see the Giants coming, you know, overcoming their problems. I mean, Guts, Ogasawara, you talked about him earlier.
He got
hit by a pitch, and he's got deactivated with a fracture in his wrist, and
Gonzalez is now out.
Gonzalez effort with the calf. It's possible we don't see him again. I mean, it was a torn muscle, I guess it was. I went out to the dome day after he got hit.
Yeah, they said it was a muscle injury right close to the joint, and so he said it was similar to what Abe had. He was out for a month, so
right. But Abe is not. Let's just say he's a little bit thinner than the.
He's better than Dickie Gonzalez.
The Hulky Hurler.
Oh, I love you, Dickie. Just get help, man.
Yeah, we do like him.
But, yeah, that's got to hurt. To me, honestly, would I be surprised if the Carp won the pennant? At this stage, not really.
Won the pennant? Nah, I don't see them doing that. But I could see,
don't see it. It sure as heck could happen.
It could happen, but
as lucky as the Swallows were in the first half, the Carp could get lucky for 2 weeks, play mediocre the rest of the way, and win the pennant.
Well, look at Kurihara. We talked about the fact that they went on a run was because he got hot, and he's staying hot to the point where he's going to win the monthly. What do they call it?
The hitter of the month is what they ought to call it.
Exactly, because he's got to make this stuff. Defense.
Yeah, there ain't no defense. They don't count that, the defense, in the player of the month award.
Right. But I could see, I mean, he's obviously going to wrap that up for the Central League for August. So, I mean, you know, and he's carried him. And if one guy gets hot for another team, I could see them carrying those guys, that team, all the way to at least a playoff spot, but maybe even higher. I'm just convinced that the Swallows are the team to beat. But I mean, it's not that they're perfect.
With their record, they gotta be. You know, they have to be the team to beat with the record. And again, that's what's in the book. So have they played well enough to continue winning at the rate they have? And the absolute answer is absolutely not. Can they play well enough to hang on to the pennant? Well, right now the clock is ticking. I'll tell you, if this season went 160 games, I don't think the Swallows would finish third. But
that's one of their issues is depth. And they still have been getting a lot of great production from a lot of guys who, you know.
Oh, yeah.
We don't know a lot of other maybe fans don't know their names. Let's put it that way. They're not household names. And they come up and they've been getting decent production from these guys.
Okay, yeah, Ogawa is a positive guy, and everything on the Swallows is positive. I mean, he uses the bench well. He uses the whole team. I mean, it's a lot easier to use a whole team when he has so many interchangeable parts, so many guys who can play defense. And you got to like that. The Carp are not a dissimilar team. The pitching is a little more brittle.
Yeah, it's scattered at the moment. But
but you know, they're a team that could put things together. Tigers, they've got, you know, basically a little good luck and the Tigers could win the pennant. Same for the Giants, you know, despite all their hopes. They're going to need a little more of good luck without Dickey Gonzalez and Ogasawara comes back healthy. But I don't see any of those things. I think, you know, the Central League race is really up for grabs.
Yeah, the Giants have been, you know, as much as I hate to say it, they've been, you know, winning despite having injuries and despite being without this guy and that guy, and this guy's in a slump and that guy's in a slump, and they find a way to win, and it's tough to watch sometimes, but you know, that's what makes the game interesting. So let's look at the Pacific League now.
Sure.
Now, let's not fool ourselves. The only part of the race that's in doubt is the order of 1 and 2, and then who's going to have the sloppy leftovers called third place.
Wow. Sloppy thirds now. Is that what we're calling it?
Thirds. Now, that being said, the race for this top spot is really going to be compelling, and I'm loving it. I love every day watching to see as the scores come across, as the zeros go up on the TBS site.
Sure.
If I'm not home or planted in front of the TV where I can watch.
What a week we had. A week we had with the Hawks and Fighters, because, you know, we watched the Eagles take one down, then the other. You know, it was like David and Goliath.
It was a Rocky movie. It was a Rocky movie. You know, Adrian. here the Eagles, you know, they go. I just said, you know, here's what I looked at the Eagles. I had buried them. I had shoveled the dirt on them. I had planted some flowers. I chipped in for the casket, and I was going to help chip in for the tombstone. And all of a sudden, we've had to exhume the body.
Don't worry, because your money will still probably be good in a few weeks. I think this investment was probably not misspent. But, you know, who knows with the Pacific League? I mean, I thought we both thought Oryx was the team to beat for third, but they can't get out of their own way. Who are they going to bench next? Who can play?
Yeah. Well, today they yanked Alfredo Figueroa after 4 innings, and for what, I have no idea. They were up when they yanked him, so he was in line for a victory, and they just took him out. And they ended up getting the win, but they scored some runs. I mean, Lee Sonyup, of all people, hits a 3-home run. And, I mean, he clubbed this thing and almost went out of the stadium. And they end up winning the game. But, I mean, these gutty little Eagles, man, I expected them to get swept in Fukuoka, and they win 2 out of 3. Then they go up to Sapporo. They sweep Sapporo. It's the first time in franchise history that they've ever swept a 3-game series up there. And then they go home to meet the Hawks again, and they take the first 2 out of that series, and they could have won tonight. They should have won tonight. They got a leadoff double in the 9th inning, and again, our buddy Higirisawa, who takes circuitous routes to balls at times in the outfield, couldn't get a bunt down, and the runner gets thrown out between second and third, and then he can't steal a base. They don't score, and they're playing the Hawks, and a walk comes around to score in the 10th inning, and they lose the game. But and they were looking to get a franchise record 8th straight win. It would have been their longest ever winning streak, and they had to see that go by the bones.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, normally I don't take much stock in 7-game winning streaks, and the rule of thumb really is 10.
Rule of thumb? Whose thumb are you looking at?
The thumb is going to stick in your eye if you don't shut up for a second. The rule of thumb is that basically the difference is if you can win, a team that wins 10 games in a row has a really, 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 really difficult chance of being a bad team. A team that wins 9, a lot of bad teams can luck into 9 game winning streaks, 8-game winning streaks. Well, they got 7, but they got 7 against the 2 best teams in Japan.
Yeah, they had a statement 7.
Not only were they were the 2 best teams in Japan, but they did it. They beat Darvish in Sapporo. They beat the Hawks. Two of their 4 wins against the Hawks were in Fukuoka. All 3 were in Sapporo. That's a pretty impressive 7-game winning streak.
And they beat up on Sugiyoshi, Toshiyasu, and they knocked him out in the 3rd inning. So that's not just whipping somebody. That's sending a note home with them and saying, hey, come bring him back tomorrow for another one.
Right.
It's a very impressive winning streak, and I agree.
It was more than I give more credit than a 7, but does it mark them as a quality team? I'm not certain, but, geez, you got to give them some credit for that. Again, credit is worth what right now, all that credit is that they're in 3rd place.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, a bad team or a mediocre team can win 7 games in a row. It's not impossible in a long season. But you look at their rotation now. They've got Makun, who went off for 18 strikeouts, franchise record, one short of the Japan record on Saturday.
Right.
They've got Iwakuma back. We don't know how healthy he is, but let's just say he's somewhat healthy. The rookie Shiomi and Jimenez, and he's been serviceable. And they have Nagai. And, that's not a bad rotation.
Who has been supplanted by Shiomi now.
Yeah, well, I mean...
Right now they're going Shiomi, Iwakuma, Isaka, Jimenez.
Right. Well, I wasn't counting Isaka.
And Tanaka.
Spot guy. He's a guy you can throw.
He's a spot guy. Fair enough. But those guys have been solid, and they do tend to get good defense, and they have been playing. They've been getting big hits when they needed it. They've been getting big outs when they needed it. So, that's how you have 7-game winning streaks, but still against the Hawks. Of course, the other factor that, we have to count in is nobody expected them to win 7 in a row. Certainly the Hawks and Fighters didn't expect
it. I bet the Hawks and Fighters showed up half asleep for those games. Not that they're not professional, but I just think their heart was, let's get this over with so we can get on to the next series. And you look up and they're in the midst of the game. It really was a Rocky story. They were being taunted probably at the beginning, and then at the end they were being respected because, they actually beat Darvish and they beat some really good pitchers. But, I mean...
Who's their Rocky? Who's Mr. T is what I want to know.
Got no idea.
Okay.
Okay. But, I want more proof before I... completely jump on their little bandwagon here. I mean, we all love our gutty little Eagles, but, Hoshino...
That's a two-stroke lawnmower-powered bandwagon, buddy.
Not much horsepower, huh?
Yeah.
But, Hoshino, this is a team I think we envisioned back when they opened that stadium, reopened the stadium and had their opener in April, and we thought, okay, this team is going to scrap, it's going to fight, it's going to pinch, claw, bite, whatever it has to do, crawl across whatever to get runs and to get enough offense to get them victories, and that's what we saw. And it'd be nice to see it happen more often for them and see them get into the playoffs. But like I said, with the little lawnmower engine, the little engine that could, I'm not on board of that one yet. We're not going to be moving very fast.
The other hand, we have to, you know, I have to look at the competition, and we have Oryx, and we have Lotte, and we have Cebu.
We have a headache.
Cebu could win this. You know, I mean,
no way.
Just look at the numbers. I mean, gosh. Let's see. What needs to happen for Cebu to win this? Oh, Wakui has to pitch like normal. Well, that's a shock. I guess that might happen.
Well, here would be the way that this team would win. Everybody pitches like Nishiguchi pitched tonight. They have a career night every night.
That wasn't a career night for him, let me tell you.
Yeah, because he's taking one hitter. It's really – I'm sorry. He's pitched one hitter.
He took a perfect game into the 10th inning, at least, against the Eagles a few years back.
Well, you know, his first shutout in 6 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if they're going to be relying on that to win games, because they only won the game 1-0, so they actually needed his first shutout in 6 years to win the game. They're not going to be winning many, many games here. But,
right. But again, weird things happen.
Well, not when you're...
They're close enough in the pennant race that weird stuff could happen. They're not a bad team, but I mean they're weak. I mean they're stretched. Without as I said about a month ago when Katayama went out.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that Katayama's a great player, but he's a good fielder and he's a key part. He's a part of the team. You know, Kataoka. Yeah, Yasuyuki Kataoka.
Yeah.
He's not a great offensive player, but he is central to the team.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
And losing him is a bigger loss than his numbers, I think. I you know, he's not a very approachable person anymore, but you know, I felt that he's dependable in that slot. You know, people know what he is. He's a proven commodity, and losing proven commodities are what they don't need.
Right. Right.
This plant, you know, this running on vapors that they've tried, that's worked well a few times in the last few years, has gotten old this year.
Yeah.
They got too many holes. I mean, and so it would be hard, but I'm just saying, you know, don't be shocked if the Lions, you know, just catch all the breaks.
Okay.
You know, they catch all the breaks. So, okay.
I mean,
they're
only 5 games out of the third.
Could happen.
Third place spot. So, I mean, they're
so who do you like?
Who do I like? I don't like any of them.
Okay.
If I had to like a team, and if I was going to bet, I would bet on the Marines, even though you know they're a team that's they lost a couple key components in Nishioka, who went to the States, and Kobayashi, who their closer is the role that he had for them, and he went to Hanshin. I would have to bet on them. I mean, you know, the pitching took a blow with Murphy going out. Bill Murphy was out with a hamstring for a while. Hayden Penn has been gone. I don't even know where he is.
Murphy's back.
Katakawa got hurt. Yuki Katakawa got hurt. I mean, you know, yeah, I know Murphy came back.
And Katakawa's expected to be back. So the pitching is, and you know, they've got good work from a couple of the young kids, Ohtani and also from Ueno. But did Ueno?
Yeah,
Ueno. So as long as they can, I don't know what it is. The biggest mystery to me is why they think they have to throw Shingo Ono out there every Sunday.
Well, but he, you know, he pitches fairly well. I mean, today he had his problems, but I mean, he's not the reason they're losing those games all the time. I mean, it is a different game now.
That's more of a pet peeve than a real reason. But I just, but the Marines are. They're trying to be the gutsy little Eagles, and I just, you know, could it happen? Sure. I don't. They're basically Nishimura is using the whole roster. He's throwing everybody in the kitchen sink out there on the field every single game. They're not giving up. They're fighting. Whether it's going to help them win the pennant, I don't know. I mean, they do have a guy who can pitch in relief. Yabuto, he's not half bad as the closer. So. Can they win it? Sure. If the pitching stays solid, if they you know, if Ishimide, I heard that he's got his stuff back on the farm. He's going to come back up, and he's been their best hitter this year. So,
yeah, for some reason they decided to send him down. Maybe it was to work on something in particular. I mean, you don't
yeah,
know.
Like, sometimes. Like how to wind his wristwatch or something. I don't know. I mean, I looked what he was doing. He looked pretty good when they sent him down. I was surprised that he wasn't in the lineup anymore. But, you know, I'll give Nishimura more credit about watching his team every single day than I do watching it, you know, once a week or twice a week. So.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes they just want him to work on some aspect, whether it's offensively. Maybe it wasn't offensively. Maybe it was defensively they wanted him to work on something. You never know.
He's a heck of a player. You were spot on about him, though. He is a heck of a player. He's got to be, I think, to be the best rookie in the Pacific League this year.
Yeah, if he didn't get sent down to the minors for whatever reason. But and then you look at Oryx, and like you said, they're strange too. This whole, you know, who's going to finish in third place is just a bunch of, it's a collection, it's a motley crew. Because,
sure.
you know, look at Oryx. Now, they have a halfway decent rotation. They've got Terahara,
right.
Kaneko,
right.
Nakayama, the guy with his curve, and Figueroa,
yep.
when they're not kicking,
yep.
him, kicking him around with a piece of trash, and Kondo. I mean, they've got a serviceable rotation. Going to take the ball. They're pretty much healthy. They're going to keep winning games.
I wonder what happened with Nishi, because he pitched pretty well for them. And all of a sudden tonight, they figure is in four innings, and then probably somebody's gone, well, you know, Nishi hasn't pitched in a while. Let's bring him in long
That's
relief.
That's exactly what I was thinking. You know what? Let's bring in Nishi. You know,
see, if
I don't know why.
Our best starter.
Yeah, I don't know why. Let's just bring him in and take Figueroa. I don't like the way he threw that changeup. I couldn't figure out why they pulled him, and I couldn't figure out why it was Nishi. And Nishi was, you know, he had won a bunch of games in a row to start the season. He
right.
had been pitching really well for him. And then all of a sudden he was in the bullpen. I don't, you know, when you said earlier, and I think this would be the third time we mentioned it, but you really don't have any clue what's going on with the Buffaloes.
I'll tell you. I have to think, I'll tell you my final theory on
yes,
the Buffaloes for this week is this. They're always looking for the guy they think is going to be the next good guy in the lineup. You know, whether it's the guy, the people who are producing, they don't care. The people who have the most talent, they don't seem to care. All they care about is, oh, who's going to be the next? It's like, Nishi's the guy we want to be the next guy in our rotation anchor, so let's get rid of Figueroa and bring him in. We want Teokata, but he's not being the Teokata we want him to be, so let's send him down.
Yeah, let's send him down to the minors for no reason. Yeah.
We can
play against Ishimine or something.
Well, yeah, they do have interleague games in the minors, but the whole point is they bring people up and send people down like as if it's the ultimate motivational tool. And that
you too can learn to hit home runs if you go to the minors.
Exactly. You can be motivated if we send you down for no reason. Sure worked on D. Brown.
Right. Learn how to hit home runs. Field your position. Score runs. I don't know what they're thinking.
Correspondence. It's the Buffaloes correspondence course for winning a pennant. You do it on the farm, and we'll think, you know, that should, then we'll bring it up, and we expect you to be able to know how to hit Pacific League pitching that you haven't seen for 6 weeks.
They are quite the head-scratching team. I don't know what to do with them.
And you know what they're going to do? They're going to come up with the next guy who's going to be the next Rookie of the Year pitcher in the Pacific League, because this is what the Buffaloes do. They got all these great pitchers in the farm team. They keep them down there longer than they need to be, and then when they're ready, they, you know, they spring upon, oh, wait, another great player from the Buffaloes, and then they screw it up. They manage to screw it up anyway. I don't know what is up with the Buffaloes. It defies description.
Well, as much as I, you know, hated to hear you say those comments earlier on in our podcasting careers here about the Buffaloes and the fact that they won't win, and you know they're a confused organization from top to bottom.
Yeah.
I'm seeing it unfold before my very eyes here, and I think all the other fans who, especially fans of the team,
they have their fans.
Yeah, are seeing the same thing, and they're just confused. I mean, you know, your hands are up in the air cheering for a guy one day, and you're reading in the paper that he sent down to the minors, or you don't see him in the lineup the next day.
Well, and here's the thing: is their leading home run hitter is Aaron Balduris.
That's right. 11, right?
Right, who spent a large part of the season in the minors because they had other plans for other players.
Confusing.
Okay.
Confusing.
Much confusification somewhere.
So, I would, like I said, I would have to go with Lotte at this time. It's going to be a great Pacific League race.
Battle between 14 between one and two. Yeah.
One and two, and then to see who gets the last, you know, sloppy thirds, as we referred to it earlier.
Yes, the least mediocre team of the bunch.
There you go. You know, my heart, I'd be rooting for the Eagles in my heart. I'm thinking Lotte, and I wouldn't mind seeing the Buffaloes.
I'm not even going to make a pick at this stage.
Not fair. You asked me to make one, and then you don't make one? No.
Okay, I'll stick with the Eagles. Team of destiny, baby.
Okay, yeah. Everybody's going to be rooting for that. That's a feel-good story that's waiting to happen if they can, instead of feeling good, they can make it good. Long since I've been fans of the Eagles, so be good to see them pull it off and get to the playoffs and have something else good besides the soccer team, which I don't know what their link to Sendai is, but anyway, everybody seems to have latched on to their victory. So let's see if they can give some joy to those fans up there. They won't be able to get to second place and bring a game up there.
They'll play on the road again.
But it'd be nice to see them play on the road wherever in the playoffs and bring some excitement up there.
So they get that lucky third place chance, and finishing third allows you to spend all your team's money for no revenue in the playoffs.
Well, I tell you this, whether they're spending it for no revenue in the playoffs or not, they have a series where they're pitching Iwakuma and Makun. I don't care where they are. They have a really good chance to win that series.
I mentioned
nasty matchup for people last week, and that's another one where I don't think anybody wants to deal with that. And that's more motivation for teams like the Fighters or the Hawks to try to get that first place finish so that they don't have to deal with that in the first round of the playoffs. Because you could be done.
True enough. Yeah, they could go up to Sapporo and they get Darvish in game one, and then the Fighters would get Masaru Takeda, and the hitters will say, well, look, we haven't hit for them all year. Why start now?
Now you're just being mean.
Yep, pretty much.
Just being mean. All right.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we've broken down both the PL and the CL, and
I think they're broken.
Well, particularly the CL. But now, you know, we were complaining early on that there was only one team over 500. Now there are four.
Yeah. So there.
And then there are the Bay Stars.
Yes. Let's reserve comment on the Bay Stars for a week, shall we?
For 1 week. All right.
Sure.
All right.
We have a moratorium on Bay Star bashing tonight.
Bay Star bashing. What tonight?
Okay, let me ask, if you're slamming the Oklahoma Bay Stars, does that count as bashing?
No.
I think that probably does. Okay, we'll put a moratorium next week then. We'll start over.
I was going to say that. That kind of I don't think you were even walking the fine line. I think you just stepped all over the thing.
I walked all over it. Okay.
Awesome. All right. Thank you very much. We didn't get any questions this week, so we'll be waiting for your questions for next week.
I know you're out there.
The email address is yakyujohn@gmail.com, or you can go to our Facebook page and leave us a comment there. Join up and leave your comments anytime. Thanks a lot.
Hey, thanks a lot, John.
Appreciate it. Have a good week and enjoy your baseball.
Okay, take care.